Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Terry is off on one of his round-the-world jaunts. He's in the UAE this evening on business, and it's probably about, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning there right now, so he's not going to be with us this evening. But it's even better because, guess what? He's let the ladies run the show tonight. I'm very pleased this evening to have pretty much most of my best friends all in one place at one time. I've got Nivasi, as always. She's running the board and will break in and remind us when it's time to go listen to some music. So, Niv, thank you for your support, even if it is mostly behind the scenes. You are awesome, and I could not do this without you. And, of course, I have Jackie Sutton, or more commonly known as PA Night Owl, or just plain Owl, who has been teaching and involved in the craft since the late 70s and has been one of the most important women in my life over the last 22 years, I think. And also, my chickie Marcy's on the phone, too, from Florida. So it's going to be, hang on to your your seat there, ladies, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. We got lots of different opinions and lots of fun, and I just wanted to actually start out this evening. You know, people hear me. We've been talking to Jackie on and off for a while now, a couple of years. Occasionally, she joins me, but people probably don't know very much about you, Jack. As far as, like, your history, like, I know because I've known you for so long, and Marcy knows because she's known you for so long. But most of the people out there maybe don't get why I love you so much. So that's kind of why I want to I kind of want to spread it out, let people know. So why don't you start?
I love you all.
I know. Why don't you start by telling us some of the origins? How did you find your way into the craft?
Okay. I have to credit my grandmother and her sister, my aunt, who had, as children, we spent a lot of time at grandma's. And I have to tell you that when grandma married grandpa in the late 1800s, she had to agree to raise the children Catholic. Mm. And she did. She made no promises about grandchildren. So we had the opportunity every summer we spent at Grandma and Grandpa's farm. So there were a bunch of cousins, and they had 12 children, so there were a lot of cousins. Mm-hmm. And during that time, we learned a lot from Grandma and Aunt Liz by sitting at the table and having discussions. When adults came to visit them, we weren't scooted away. We were allowed to listen. And the conversations from my elders were very interesting and probably influenced my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma was one of those that even she would look at you all of a sudden and say, so-and-so's coming, we better do this. And these people would show up with no phone calls, no forewarning, but she would know.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma would know things.
Mm-hmm.
And it made very difficult, getting away with things very difficult as children. I mean, her voice could carry to the ends of the 40 acres of their property. Know where we were and how to reach, get our attention. She was fantastic. Aunt Liz was the one who did the tea leaves and taught us to read cards. And she used to take us to, you know, the local fairs, you know, the little teeny tiny ones, you know.
Right.
But I really thought for years that that was where you went to get money, because she would go to the wheels.
Right.
And she would put her money down. She'd stand there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and she'd start putting her money down. And she'd tell me where to put my money, and we'd get money. This was a wonderful thing, you know. Animals, they both had an affinity with animals. And I remember learning much about animals and how to figure out what they were up to, how to know when they were not feeling well, how to do some home remedies on animals and people. So, you know, it was just kind of an overall thing. I was probably 11, 12 years old before I realized that other people were not talking to their ancestors and were not seeing manifestations because it was just part of my life, part of my awareness, part of my growing up.
Yeah.
So when my children were coming along, I was looking, and again, it was at a point when some of my elders were passing on, and I really missed that. We had moved away from the area, and I started looking for, like some people would get to a new town, and they'd go join a church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for people who were more like my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she and her sister were... they had been to Lilydale when they were in their late teens, early 20s. So they were spiritualists, and we were exposed to it, you know. And so I started, and don't forget, this is pre-internet. We're talking in the late 60s, early 70s. It was, you didn't just walk into a library and say, hey, I'd like to know this, especially not in a little town like I live in now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go to you know, other cities, and I would find little shops, and I would started my collection of books, and as you know, they have taken me over. But you know, it wasn't until my kids were my grandchildren were the first of my grandchildren had been born, and we were doing you know, things at the house and ritual and so forth, and it for some reason I did get hooked up online with the old Prodigy bulletin boards and started to talk to people, and this was in late 80s, early 90s, and we started talking, and we had online rituals, we had discussions about anything and everything, and had some really interesting and strong people also looking for connections.
That's how I met you.
Yep. And so then it was, I remember having conversations with the one group that I was in predominantly, and we were talking about making it a plan for, you know, having our vacations together and picking a place, and we'd all, and we wanted to do it outdoors, so we were talking about a state park.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had offered to look around and in an area that was kind of close enough that it was like a 3 or 4 hour drive for some people, but we all made it. And then the person who was supposed to be looking around, they weren't doing anything. And you know how impatient I am. I really just can't ignore that. So my husband and I had taken a weekend, and we went down into by the Maryland border, and we found a really nice park, and it was at exit off 80, off 81. It was exit 13. So we felt this is a good sign. So we got people together, and we arranged for our first gathering. And that first gathering, there were 38 people there. Mm-hmm. And from all over, Canada, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia. I know I'm forgetting another place, too. Oh, North Carolina. So, you know, it was something that, and we, so we camped together for a week. And these are people we had never met in person before.
Mm-hmm.
But we found a connection online. And for some reason, we had decided we were going to just enjoy the week, and then before we left, we would do a ritual, a full moon ritual. And, you know, and it was kind of like, well, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And I'm just supporting the whole thing. And then all of a sudden they said, well, you're going to be the high priestess. And I went, no, I'm not. And they said, yes, you are. So I went, okay. And a friend of mine, Red Deer, some of you know him well, and he was chosen to be the high priest. And we, from never having worked together before, and he kept saying, we should sit down and we should write this out, and I'm going, no. we're just going to wing it. Just let our deities come in and leave it open and let it happen. And it turned out wonderfully well. We had one person who was not prepared for being in an open ritual like that, and she was standing behind me in circle. And I heard her yell, and I turned around and yelled at somebody to grab her, and my husband was on one side of her, and another friend of ours was on the other side, and because she hit the ground. She fainted. It was so overwhelming for her. There were others who did not come into circle. They kind of sat outside. And then later they were saying, well, we saw this, and we saw the trees bend down, and we saw the flames leap, and we saw, you know. So everybody had their own specific individual experience. And in talking about it afterwards, we were validating each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we founded the first group, which was called the Amucks, a meeting of kindred. And then from there, out of that came the Mystic Triad, and it started on a number of people contacting us, and then doing different things and going to different events and doing workshops and so forth. And I met a lot of great people, and that's how you and I met, Robin. And that's how I met Marcy. I think Niv had stopped at the house, because we had gatherings here at our place, And she stopped the one weekend just to see what was going on,
mm-hmm.
And had the courage to come back. You know, so
that is the way
and,
it works.
And there's just been so
That's
many.
Not funny, Jackie.
I know.
I was on mute until then. I went.
Another time, honey.
And I got sunburned that day.
Well. One of the
I
things,
know. And I remember the first time I made you call quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I thought you were going
to
faint that day. But
yeah.
You know, so we've grown up together. We have expanded. We've gone out into the community and we've met so many interesting people. And I remember in the 90s, there were a number of the old guard of the pagan community. They were passing away.
Mm.
And I think all of us felt we needed to get closer, keep our contacts, because our elders were passing away. And it probably took me 3 or 4 years before I realized that people were considering me an elder. And I kept thinking, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. I don't know enough. What are you asking me for? But at the same time, it was like when somebody asked, especially, and those of you who have done drawing down will understand, there are times you have to let go and say, okay, this is what I'm thinking of. This is what somebody needs to know. And you step back and you do the drawing down, and it's not up to you to make decisions for everybody or to lead their life. Sometimes something will pop out of your mouth that you have no idea where it came from, but it's something they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I always know at that point it's when our deities are listening and using us as a go-between.
Yeah.
There's an old story in that came from Judaism, was it Ellie? Oh, I can't think of her name. Anyway, but Sabra, she wrote under the name of Sabra, Ali Yeshiva, and she had a book out called When Jews Were Pagan, and she talked about Yeshira as the cohort of El Yochem,
mm-hmm.
God and goddess, equal parts on the tree of life,
mm-hmm.
and that Yeshira was considered the voice, the breath of deity. And I'm thinking of that, knowing that with my Celtic background, I thought, okay, I've got Herne the Hunter, I've got the Green Man. Yeah, he handles all of the flora and the fauna and animal life,
mm-hmm.
But when it came to who was calling the shots, who was advising, who was mostly involved with the physical world we live in, those were the goddesses. So it was hard for me to get a balance for a while when I first came into the craft, because everything was goddess-oriented. And, you know, being an old feminist like me, I wanted balance. I wanted equal opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
So within our trad, we do look at and ask people to, you know, work with a deity for a certain amount of time. Work with the deity and the consort, who's the other part. And it took me a while to find my deity, primary deity, and the god was kind of knocking on my door, and I was not paying much attention. And I talked to someone else about it, a friend of mine, and he got laughing. He said, "You'll figure it out." And then and it just went, oh, duh. I keep telling people to listen to the voices that come through when you're seeking answers, when you're looking out at a problem, when you're really asking deity for some guidance. Mm-hmm. And you know, my prayer has always been, don't give me, tell me what I need to know. Point
right.
me in the direction. What do I need to know about this situation?
Yep.
And then it's up to me to work with that and know about it and learn it.
And I have
whether
so stolen
it's,
that opinion.
I'm afraid of spiders and or I'm afraid of snakes, and then I have to go study snakes. I have to study spiders.
Mm-hmm.
I do have respect for them, but I don't have that fear anymore.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it started out with my family. Then I took it on my own. And it evolved into the pagan movement that had started in the 60s. I
right.
came in late in the early 70s, but at least there was stuff out there. You could get books. It was difficult, and they were expensive, but you could get them. And you know, some of the people, they laugh about the Llewellyn writers and so forth, but that was something that was available at an economical price, and it gave voice to a lot of different perspectives and different practices that
mm-hmm.
people could walk into any bookstore
mm-hmm.
and get a book, get a
yeah.
magazine.
Well, hey,
nobody... And I know people get annoyed with some of us who, when they ask for something, will say, well, what have you read about it? Where? How much research have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you like, well, you're supposed to tell me all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not supposed to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to make.
Well,
know.
the other thing is that if I tell you the answer, you'll remember
yeah.
it for maybe 15 minutes. But if you read it and you look it up, you'll retain it and you'll have a deeper knowledge of it. Because I can
oh,
tell
yeah.
you what I do, I can tell you what I think, but
mm-hmm.
it's not coming from you and your process.
Sure.
So, you know, you're not. It's not going to mean as much.
No, no, and. You know, they
you can run around the outer edge of the story. You know, you can give those clues, but someone has to be able to put it together for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way that we learned it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
You know, I was lucky but because as a kid growing up, I had exposure to
mm-hmm.
the conversations, to the people talking about having a visitation from an ancestor who had passed on. Niv, silver spoons.
yep. I haven't done that with
but,
my
you know,
yet,
little
but
things
we will.
Like that were practiced in my household. And even though my grandparents and my parents were raised Catholic, it took me a long time to realize that we had more icons of Mary,
yeah.
St. Anne,
mm-hmm.
the little flower. You know, we had all these feminine saints.
Sure.
And so it I really never felt left out or as a second-class citizen until I talked to a priest, and then I would get pissed and go, yeah, no. But
well, you know, I think that having grown up in a Celtic, I did too. You know, you and Terry and I have that very much in common. We all grew up in this very sort of Celtic culture.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, women were not considered to be stupid and barefoot and the pregnant. Women ruled
That's
the
right.
house. They ran
right.
the kitchen. And if you ran the kitchen, you ran that house.
Mm-hmm.
You were the queen of the hearth. And in that way...
When you look at the Brehon laws, when someone was buying property or taking over property because somebody owed them money and they were taking the property, they would go on the land once, then they'd go on the land the second time, just like a looky-look.
Mm-hmm.
But the third time,
mm-hmm.
when the wife came in and put down her cauldron and cooked in it,
mm-hmm.
the land was now theirs.
Right.
Right.
Not before.
Women had a value. And in,
oh,
in
yeah.
so much other European culture at the same time, women did not have value.
Right.
And women were allowed to own property.
Yeah.
Amongst the Celtics and the Nordic peoples, the Vikings, and I think that was a huge difference, and I think that it comes through in the way we treat other people and then the way we felt about our spirituality. Having friends growing up, my family was never particularly religious, although my grandmother was raised in a convent, in a Catholic convent. And I think that because of that experience, she couldn't bear to force religion on anybody else. But I did go to church as a kid with my friends, mostly my neighborhood was Irish and Italian, and you could see such a difference between the culture in the Irish homes and the culture in the Italian homes. And I'm not saying one was better than the other. I'm not, but it was
just different.
As a child, I could see the difference.
Right.
And
right.
So it taught me from an early age that, you know, women had a place.
Right, right. And it was they didn't have to fight for it.
It was assumed.
They were an intrinsic value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even when you go back and you look at, all right, we're trying to, when Gardner was doing his research and trying to find the cunning man and the wise woman of days of old. Okay, their portion of contribution was very important to the life and safety of their clan, their tribe, it wasn't until much later that all of a sudden they became nasty old hags, you know.
Yeah.
And since I am one now, I have no problem with it. I've earned it.
Yeah.
Speaking of nasty old hags.
Yes.
Speaking of nasty old hags, Nib, what time is it? Give me a time check because I have no clock where I am.
9:27.
9:27. All right. You want a break for the song, and then when we come back, we can talk a little bit about this. Jackie had wanted to discuss a little bit about the online hexing of the President of the United States. And Marcy, I know she had something interesting to talk. She wanted to talk about the inner child. So we'll touch on those when we come back after the song.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
We're going to play Murphy's Midnight Rounders. And Jackie,
yay,
this one's just for you. Wreck
Thank
of
you.
A Modern Pagan.
Plastic handles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print of Ray's Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me because she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternate keys. F7 scribes a circle round and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude. Her cat is Trixie Druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk, in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. He says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Gramsci, and the Budapest, and volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's a one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meter brew. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass to true.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
in to International Pagan Radio, you can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And hello, and we are back after the break. I hope you all enjoyed Murphy's Midnight Rounders, one of my favorite bands that we play here on the station, and I've actually had the pleasure of meeting them all in person, and they are wonderful, funny, creative, amazing humans. So shout out to them. But tonight I have my own funny and amazing humans on with me, some of my most special people in the world. I've got Owl and Marcy and Niv, and we're basically just bullshitting more than anything. We don't really have a topic. We spent the first half hour kind of getting to know Jackie a little better because I've had her on the show a few times, and she's probably inspired many of the people books that you have read, and she's probably, you know how there are sometimes musicians who inspire other musicians, and the musicians don't really talk a lot about this musician because this musician has inspired them. Well, Jackie's kind of like that in the pagan community. There are lots of people who have attended her classes and taken her teachings and gone off and written books. And I could name half a dozen authors off the top of my head, but they probably wouldn't be very happy if I did that. So, so I'll keep my mouth shut.
A number of them have actually given me credit on their,
yes.
You know,
some of them have,
so that's what,
to their credit, they have given
credit,
you credit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But anyway, but we wanted to kind of talk about a couple of other topics while we have the opportunity to all be together. And I know, Marcy, you said something during the intro when we were all in the green room about wanting to talk about the inner child. What did you have in mind?
I don't think there was anything really specific. It's just been something that's popped up for me recently, and I was thinking about it while I was in the shower tonight about the inner child and how important it is for us to just be silly and have fun and just let go of all of our responsibilities, even if it's just for a few moments, to just giggle about something silly like the Minion movie or something.
You must have been eavesdropping on my living room. We were watching the Minions tonight.
I was too.
We were babysitting Zach, and that's his favorite movie at the moment. So,
But it's I just realized how important that inner child is, just for overall happiness. One of the things it's always been so important to me because I had such a wounded childhood kind of thing. And, you know, everybody's got a story, so we won't go there. But it's really important to keep that inner child nurtured, especially in this world today of all this technology and politics and, oh, my gosh, all the grown-up stuff we've got to do. So I just, please, people, don't let your inner child go to sleep for too long.
Well,
the other thing, too, is that inner child, you can pull out, and I don't care who it is, there are going to be little kernels of pure joy. Do you remember the first time you rode a horse?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
yep.
the first time you actually got on ice skates and were able to skate around the rink on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Those
no.
things learned.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you're fine.
Yeah, we roller skated.
Yeah, but and things that scared you as a child that no longer have the power to scare you if you
mm-hmm.
don't let it.
Right.
You there's in visiting the child, the inner child, it also gives you an opportunity from your adult perspective to nurture and to explain things that the child didn't know all the ins and outs of, but it becomes clearer as you're older.
Right.
Yeah, well, so you go back and you educate yourself. You take away the fear of that
right.
comes with from that inner child.
Yeah, there's great strength in that inner child with overcoming fears and
right.
and subduing them and conquering them and moving forward through that fear and being stronger and braver and smarter and more confident for having done it. And I often sometimes think that people who lack self-esteem and confidence, it's because when they were a child, there was always somebody there holding their hand saying, "It's okay, honey, you don't have to do that if you don't want to."
Yeah.
Rather than saying, "Get back up on the horse if you fell down."
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
There's a reason right. why that's a saying, is if you fall off a horse, get right back up. Because if you let your fear conquer you, you'll never
yeah.
experience that joy again. But if you get back up there and you keep trying, you'll experience
mm-hmm.
the joy, and you won't be afraid of it.
I had a thing that all has always stuck with me. I had an aunt who was mentally challenged, and she would go for walks, and when she'd come back, she'd be crying because she always had a dollar or a $5 bill folded up in her apron pocket, and she'd be out on a walk, and she'd come home, and it would be lost. Now, we're talking 40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother would say to us, "Go find her money."
Mm-hmm.
Not that we were with her at the time, but you go find her money. And you know what? We did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Grandma expected us to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, when my cousin was riding my horse and he was gone a couple of hours, and he was home on leave from the army,
mm-hmm.
and my grandmother was getting all upset, and I said, what, "He'll be fine." And she said, "No, he won't. He doesn't know this." And I go, "Hey, I'm out there every day alone on my horse for hours. You don't worry about me." And she looked at me, and she said, "But you can take care of yourself." And I'm thinking, what?
The soldier can't take care of himself, apparently. That's good. That's good.
But, no, it's feedback you get from the people around you.
Yeah.
Where you take on the persona that they think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if they think you are strong and capable, and that's their expectation of you, it becomes your expectation of yourself. And another thing with when we're talking about, especially from the Celtic backgrounds that we're all from,
mm-hmm.
it's part of that clan thinking. It's part of that Irish,
mm-hmm.
you just do.
My grandmother always said to me, "Children will live up to what your expectations are. If you expect
right.
good things from them, they will give you good things. If you
right.
do not expect good things from them, they will, you know, you set the bar and they will touch it and they will reach
uh-huh.
it and they will go over it. If you don't set the bar, they won't." So
yeah.
it's really up to you what kind of child you get.
Sure.
And if you
realize that and you honor your ancestors and you learn from what they teach you, even the ones that you've never met and they
mm-hmm.
passed long before you, you hear the family stories of who they are and what they are.
Yeah.
And you can call on the ancestors, and that becomes part of your craft.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, again, getting back to the strength of the inner child, when that strength is betrayed or broken, it's one of the hardest
oh.
things to recover from.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's when trust is broken, there may be a relationship, but once that trust is gone, there is always a crust on that wound. There's always a scab to pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you can get past it, you can forgive it,
mm-hmm.
but you never forget it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's and you can see it in children today. We've all had experiences with seeing a child who is exhibiting some kind of angst,
mm-hmm.
and you can even figure out exactly what's causing it. But there's, you know, it's sometimes it's none ya, none your business.
Yeah,
yeah.
None ya. So much you can do. You can't interfere
right.
in everybody's, you know, stuff. So.
But you can
Very
always
true.
Throw a bubble around.
Yeah.
You can always do your bubbles.
That's it. Bubble magic. Bubble magic, baby.
Yep. It works.
It does.
Works.
So when we – and the one last thing I did want to say was it's funny, Marcy, that you brought up the inner child thing because recently I have been feeling very like I have completely lost touch with that aspect of myself. You know, I'm so busy working. I'm raising a kid. I'm, you know, still being the single mom during the week because Terry's not here. But instead of, you know, the working close by the house now, I'm working a 10-hour day, basically. And I'm feeling very, very stressed and a little bit out of control of certain things in my life that I don't like being out of control of. And
yeah.
My inner child is taking a beating because I keep saying, nope, I have to be responsible. Nope, I have to do this. Nope, I can't. And I did the same thing right after Jimmy died. And I'm feeling some of that same disconnection that I felt. And it was funny because just like yesterday, I thought to myself, you know, I really need to just relax and you know, do something silly and have a good time. And I just have to figure out when. when do I have the time?
When you don't have to wake
up
early to the alarm clock.
Oh, Lord!
You just got to take 5 minutes and crank the radio up and dance around and blow bubbles.
That's true. That's true.
I'll be over on Sunday, Jackie. We can crank up the radio and blow bubbles.
It's okay by me.
Okay.
Okay,
but
so
anyway.
Do we have time to go to the last topic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we can fill 2 hours if we want to. We got the time.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sure everybody has seen where there's a whole big thing about witches getting together and hexing on the political situation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not something new. They did it in World War II. The British witches did it. And it worked.
Yeah, it's just...
So when they're going to do it, whether they're using modern media, whether they're doing it online, whether they're calling each other or attending a gathering or a rally or whatever, okay, they have the right to express their opinion and do it in such a way that's within their culture, their abilities, their things they know how to do, their talents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then all of a sudden there's all these people who are posting online that witches, real witches don't hex.
Oh.
I will call bullshit on that. That's my bottom line. If you need to know how to heal, and to do spell working. You have to know how to curse and to hex.
Mm. Well,
doesn't mean you have to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you have to
just
know
it. How.
Mm-hmm. That
yeah.
is one of the things that I teach have been teaching people since the beginning. You may not want to read, say, for example, Aleister Crowley or Anton LaVey, but you have to know that to be able to recognize what you don't want. Because if all you have ever done is lived in the daylight, how the heck are
yeah.
you ever going to recognize a dark room? So,
yeah.
You know, and personally, I have in my lifetime done some spell work to rid my life of things or people.
Sure.
But you know, everybody does it in their own way. There's a way of doing it in a from a positive stance to help, you know, avoid some of the karma. There's
right.
also a time when you just don't give a shit and this has to be taken care of, and the gods had better understand your point of view and support
right.
you, because this is just wrong. Like when I had a friend of mine whose daughter had disappeared for 2 weeks and nobody knew where she was, and we were
right.
all very concerned about her, and the four of us, Marcy was there, and the four of us got together, and we did a pretty serious thing, and she came home in 2 days.
Yeah.
And she came home a much changed young lady.
Uh-huh.
She was contrite and understood what she had done
sure.
to her mother.
The other thing, too, is you, as a practicing witch, knowing and with your deity that you work with predominantly,
mm-hmm.
that is something that you could identify with and your deity understood it.
Yes, absolutely.
But you also know that when you take that kind of a serious step,
mm-hmm.
you are responsible for what the outcome is.
Exactly.
You're going to, there's going to be a change. There
yeah.
is going to be a difference.
Yep.
It's like, and you all have done readings for people, whether you do it by pendulum, whether you do it by runes, whether you do it by cards. And you know yourself that there are people that will come to you, and they want to keep coming back and coming back and have you tell them how to
mm-hmm.
wipe their butts.
Mm-hmm.
No, not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are others that when you come in, and especially on cold readings, where there is nothing in the card that is going to say this specific thing that comes out of your mouth, because you just know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say things like that, the next thing that happens is they stay away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think you know everything. And what they don't realize is, a reading for them, it's their reading, it's not yours, and you probably don't even remember if you met them on the street 6
yeah.
months later, you wouldn't know who the hell they were.
Right, and you don't
right.
remember 20 minutes after, I rarely
no.
remember what I've said.
That's
because
right. you know, I would tell people, bring a tape recorder, take notes, whatever you want to do, because it's your reading, not mine.
Right.
I will not
right.
remember it.
Yeah. Now, the only time I will say, there are times where people sit down in front of you for a reading and everything you're saying to them is very meaningful for them, but you're also hearing somebody talking to you yourself as well.
Yes.
And that can be kind of disconcerting, because you know that this is coming completely from
yeah.
deity, because these words would never come out of your mouth, and you're like, oh my gosh, she's talking
yeah.
to me and
yeah,
her
yeah.
or him, and I need to sit up and pay attention here, because this is important.
Sure.
And those moments I do remember for myself, but I would say a good 95% to 98% of all readings, it's you're the conduit, and you do not retain any of it.
I've had that same
right.
thing in ritual.
Yeah. Oh yes, Marcy. Yes.
Oh,
in,
all the
in
time.
In ritual, it's really strange, and that's one of the reasons that I know people kind of look at me funny, because they
yeah.
like a more ritual than I usually run, but
yeah.
I really very seldom have a planned speech. You know, when I start and do the drawing down, I'm as surprised as anybody else as what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But people will come up later and say that was specific for them, and I'm going, oh well, good, I'm glad. You know, thank
mm-hmm.
you. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's that's it. It's every time you do something like that, you may have a querent or somebody, a participant, and it is significant to them.
Yeah.
But you learn something, too.
Mm-hmm.
You
learn
something for you. There's always exchange there. There's always a little kernel of, wow, I had never thought of that, or that's a perspective I would never have guessed.
Right.
Yeah.
But coming back to the mass magical working that's being touted right now online, people need to realize that there will be some karmic debt. And this is my personal, this is my personal opinion. The opinions hereby expressed are not those of the station or anybody else here on the phone call, but so send your letters too. But I kind of feel yeah, send them to Terry in Dubai. But
yeah.
Okay, get
them.
He's
your crazy wife.
Under the bus.
Yeah.
Here he goes.
Yeah, exactly. But I really worry and am somewhat concerned that there are people out there who are so carried away on their wave of political ire, if you will, that they are forgetting that there will be some sort of karmic price to this. And the karmic price that they're going to be involved with all of this energy, and they don't necessarily know the origins of some of this energy. I work my politics, you know, aside, I work every day with my deity for my world, my little niche, my family, my community to be the best it could be. And if we were all doing that anyway, like we're supposed to be, a mass working like this, although, you know, it's a form of witch protest, let's face it.
It is.
It's our way of going out with signs and walking in the street.
Right.
You know, I kind of am behind it because I believe in what they're trying to do, and which is to get his attention and maybe make him think about what he's doing, one can hope. And But I just want people to be aware and fully cognizant of what they're entering into. And some of these people that I've been seeing talking about this online, they're not giving this any more thought than if they were throwing a tomato at somebody. That bothers me.
Well, there's another aspect of that, too. For those who do know and do understand and who can gather that energy, we don't know who's listening. We don't know who's gathering that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We don't know how strong and adept can take that energy and use it in a specific.
Mm.
So the wording of the spell,
mm-hmm.
the intent of the spell,
mm-hmm.
has to be within our teachings.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of people out there who have not been taught.
That's kind of what I'm saying. There are a lot of people out there who are picking this up and throwing this tomato because it's politically expedient for them. Let's get on the bandwagon. And while I am not one of these elitist witches that feels like, well, nobody can do magic unless you've been trained and you've been
years. In reality, anybody can use magic.
Exactly. Right.
And having the ability to use magic, because there are naturals. There are people who
mm-hmm.
are doing magic without even thinking about it, without
mm-hmm.
even realizing it. That's
mm-hmm.
why, you know, we concentrate on validating and explaining and talking about and getting that through to someone as a tangible effect, cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Right.
Should we? That's another thing. And before you do it, I just don't think there was enough time of introspection before this went out like a public thing.
Yeah. I that's kind of how it struck me as well. I would have liked to have seen more conversation about it, more unifying conversation amongst some of the lists and the elders. But, you know, this goes back to one of my pet topics that you and I have talked about and I've talked about before on the air, is that the elders who are out there, like yourself, who are still teaching, they're becoming harder and harder to find. You're getting more and more people who are, you know, middle-aged, who have read a couple of books and who are now passing themselves off as experts. And the stuff that they're teaching is very, it's like Swiss cheese. It's full of holes. The foundation is not there.
You know, how badly affected I was this past week with Dana's passing.
Yeah.
I would say everybody should at least get her book, Pagans and the Law. At least know that there are people out there who do have knowledge and were able to write about it and pass it on in book form.
Mm-hmm.
But we've lost a lot of elders over the past 6 months.
Yeah.
And you know, these were strong in their own right, but you know, there's a part of the elder population that is going, we can't pick up the pieces for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we all remember the witch wars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's kind of like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We should be better than this.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're finding ourselves right now, because there's been too much going off on tangents.
Mm.
Yep.
The biggest thing in the pagan community is ignorance and not willing to do the work to learn our craft.
Mm.
Well, that's
and
kind
when
of
it
good.
Comes down to the government at this point and what's been happening since the election,
mm-hmm.
you see where ignorance is getting us?
Yeah, but you can educate the ignorant. You have to have the want to and the need to educate yourself.
Right.
Don't go by your intuition all the time. I'm not going to say it's always right, but your intuition also will say, you know, maybe I should read on that. Maybe I should do a little research on that. Before you go and open your mouth and blow it out, because I've read the article 3 times, and I'm still seeing lots of vagueness. Granted, she probably had something to say. She truly did. But I think the author should have stepped back and said, maybe I should call up my buddy over here, and maybe I should call up the witch over there in New York, and you know, let's really talk about this, because this is you cannot always go by you're pissed off.
No.
Because if you do, then that's going to backfire on you.
Oh, yeah.
Being focused and being prepared and having your support system there before you go out on a limb. And you just have to. You just can't. And that's everything.
My grandmother always used to say to me, you know, beware the lemming effect, which is don't just follow the guy in front of you over the cliff because he's going first, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So you really should stand back and take a look at the situation and go, you know what? What's happening to those people after those lemmings after they go over the cliff? Well, look at that. They're hitting the rocks down there and dying. Maybe I don't want to do that, you know?
Right. But, you know, I I think there's a lot of smart young people coming up. I think there's a lot of small groups who are really focusing and trying to teach the right way. And it's one of those things when you see a group working, support them. But if you see a group that totally is going down the Yellow Brick Road, then you have to kind of go, you know, that's not really gold brick, you know. That's just going to fall apart. That's clay. It's going to, you're going to fall through it. And it's much harder to bring the discipline to your craft that's necessary than people think. I mean, we don't stress a lot, but the core value comes through by validating, by validating, by validating, not by hitting somebody over the head or holding out a carrot on a stick.
Right. If you're not working, you're not having experiences that your coven mates, your mentors, your friends can validate for you. So right there, missing out. And you're the only one who can have those experiences. You're the only one who can do that work.
Right.
So
right.
If there's no work being done, no experiences happen, no reason to talk to you.
So
you're going to keep coming back and asking me the same questions.
You know how I feel about that. First time, I'll answer you. Second time, I'll answer you and maybe tweak it a little bit. Third time, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because you haven't done any work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's the same old, again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. Yeah. I can't do it for you.
Can't
I know. I have been accused over the years of being unsympathetic or not living up as a high priestess because I didn't give them what they wanted. You know,
can't be all these people.
Huh?
I'm looking around, going, it's not me. Not me.
No, but you've met some of them. Yeah.
Oh, I know who some of them are.
You know,
we're going to go nameless, but some people have to have. You know, you remember years ago I used to say it's that silver platter syndrome. You give your children everything you can. You feed them, you clothe them, you get them on their two feet, they can walk, and now their brain falls out. And so now they expect you to help them again, you know.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have personally learned and one of the things I see the deep wisdom in is this ancient shaman, particularly I can think of Native Americans and some other ancient cultures, when people were studying to become shamans and studying to become, the wise people in their tribe, if you will, there came a point at which the elders said something akin to, "Well, here, you know, we're going to take all your possessions, we're going to throw you out into the woods, and if you survive and come back in a year, you know, maybe we'll think about continuing your training." Or they'd say, you know, here, go to this address and go see this. Go to this other, you know, village across the state. And when you get there, you know, look up this person. And they'd get there, and that person would shut the door on them and say, "I don't know who you are. I'm not letting you in my house. I'm not going to teach you anything. Get lost."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a test.
Yep.
It was a test to see, can you survive on your own? Will you do the work by yourself? Is this mean enough to you to continue, even if you feel that you're not being wholly supported by your physical beings, that you know you have a deep enough connection to the divine to continue on this path?
Yes. And nobody can tell you which deity you're going to connect with.
Right.
Nobody's going to tell you which deity may pop in because your deity has said, "Wait a minute, I got somebody who has more expertise in this," and then they throw another deity in at you, and you go, "Oh, well, hello, how are you? Can I get you a cup of tea?" You must be very respectful. But, you know, meanwhile, you're shaking in your boots because you have no idea what to
mm-hmm.
expect.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that they happen in the craft,
mm-hmm.
and they happen more often than not. And yet there are people who are talking about the craft who I can't validate their experiences. I don't know their experiences. And they don't
right.
seem to be operating from an experiential base.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm
I think
thinking,
a lot of
all right,
anger and
this is an idea that, okay, I can understand where it was coming from. I can understand that it's been done before by the community and had positive results. And, you know, at this point, whoever participates, they can't help but learn something from it.
Yeah.
You know, I would never shut them down. I would never say, oh, you can't do that. No, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
But please be aware, because the first thing a spell changes is you.
Yep.
And that's one of the tenets of my belief and what I've taught for years, because I learned it, and I learned it the hard way.
Yep.
Yep, and so are my girls, and I learned it, and I could
yep.
name a few more in this room.
Yeah. Yep.
But
yep.
but we learned it that way, and we live by it now.
Mm.
You know, it's sort
well,
of
I
our
try to live up to
backbone.
Because I have days that I'm just totally bitchy old hag.
That's my name at work.
Okay.
Bitchy old hag. Okay, Robin. It's in your fault.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm thinking is, I know we don't have a guest for this Thursday night. Would
no,
you all like to meet on Thursday night
can.
And do this again?
We can.
Sure,
it's
I can do it
you.
Thursday night.
Okay.
Yeah, I might
Mark?
Be able to do Thursday.
You might as well get me now, because next week, as a bitchy old hag, I'm having all my teeth pulled out on the bottom.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that. Ooh, okay.
Wee.
Been
there,
well,
done that.
Are you going to need somebody to drive you?
It's going to be in the afternoon, so I have no idea, and I don't know what time. I have to go in tomorrow for impressions, and then I will know when it's actually happening.
Okay,
but,
well, I can, if I have to, I can take some personal time from work and drive you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I would appreciate it. I'll talk to you later about it, okay?
Okay, all righty.
But,
all right, well.
So Thursday will be fine. We'll
okay.
I will
same
still
place,
be able
same
to talk.
Channel.
Cool. Sounds like a plan. So this was part one, people out there in listening land. And if you'd like to tune in on Thursday, we'll continue this conversation. I want to hear about Marcy's Orisha experience, since she said it was one of the most beautiful experiences she's had in a long time. And maybe we can all come to the table with a recent experience that we can talk about. Validate for each other on the air, so maybe people can understand what we're talking about if they've never experienced that type of validation, that
right.
type of sharing, that type of learning, because we all learn from other people's experiences.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've had
okay.
fun.
All right.
Me.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on. I know I'm like the biggest shithead in the world, because I had told Terry that like a week or two ago that I was gonna ask Jackie to be on the show with me, and I completely zoned. And I've talked to her a couple of times since then, and I completely zoned until about 7 o'clock tonight when I said, "Shit, I gotta call Jackie and find out if she'll be on the air with me tonight." So I'm a complete shithead. So thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
All right.
I mean, how many people do you know who can talk for an hour and a half without stopping?
Well, you know,
with no plan.
But you're one of my favorite people to listen to, so that's it works.
Yeah.
All right, so let's
we used to have
to
here would be 3 or 4 days of constant conversations.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's something we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And something else we need to talk about is I think this summer we're going to try and do something at the mountain. But anyway. All right.
Okay, and my phone is dying. I can hear it's beeping.
Okay.
Okay.
All my favorite ladies, good night.
Love y'all.
And I will, blessed be, and I will talk to you Thursday night, 9 o'clock. Everybody
okay.
out there in Stern Land, please come back and join us on Thursday night for more fun. And Terry will be back, not next week, but the week after. He's in Dubai for 2 full weeks. Good night, everybody. Bless
you.
Good
night.
And we will see you Thursday. Night, night.
Good night. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Spread the love.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.